understand like how, I guess, like how to operate like the different machines around here. So like at the radio station, how to operate the board and the microphones and things like that. And then like non-material culture, such as like how is the, I guess, like recreational side of things allocated. So if you had like a fridge space for your lunches, how is that shared? Do you label your things? Who do you talk to about certain issues, I guess? It's like that's your non-material kind of things. And usually you'd go through that once, because most people back in the day would find a job and stay in that job. They just work their way up the ladder of that job, right? And they just stay there. Whereas like now, it's much more common that you get in a job, but you're not going to stay in that job.
Yeah.
It's much more kind of fragmented, that you constantly are switching it up and moving to different companies and constantly getting re-socialized into different workplace settings.
Yeah. And I mean, even so, like, workplaces too are now, I mean, and have been for a while, but relatively speaking, when some of these theories were being created, the workplaces were mainly occupied by men, right? And now we have everybody else is also getting to participate too.
Whoop whoop. Welcome to the club, everybody.
But yeah, no, that's super, I hadn't thought about it like that. That's super interesting.
Yeah, because I hadn't thought about it in that way, in that you're constantly getting re-socialized into different workplace environments, because it's, I remember in secondary school how much, like a new teacher, so in secondary school, like high school, we were there for 5 years. And I remember being like, at the start of it, the teacher would be like, this is a new teacher in the geography department, right? 2 years, that teacher had gone. And it started to happen there. And now you see a lot more. Like my mum is a co-director of an architecture firm. And it's like they hired a person, and he's like, after 2 years, he was like, I'm handing in my notice and stuff. And I think 2 years is like the mark at the moment. It's kind of like 2 years, and then you're starting to look elsewhere.
You know what would be a super interesting essay to write is what do we think about the fact that, I mean, we, going back to the social media thing, right?
It all comes back to social media.
Instant gratification thing, it's training our brains to be, I mean, you could even say socializing our brains. I mean, you could say, but basically it's training our brains to need a lot more stimulus, right?
Yeah.
So maybe that staying in that same job is just not as mentally invigorating as it could be, because I don't know. And then this relates to last week's of when we were talking about the menial labor and the meaningless jobs of if people aren't finding passion in their job. But generally, I feel like the jobs that David Graeber was talking about, which if you didn't hear that, it was basically there's some jobs in society that the repetitive tasks, et cetera, make it so that that job isn't, it's not really adding any worth. The job could be done easily by like a robot or something. And why aren't we having all of these menial labor jobs being taken over by technology? Like, why are we still putting ourselves through these systems, right? Go listen to our last episode. It was great. But yeah, I lost my train of thought, actually.
You were talking about how people switching up jobs every 2 years
is because they need the attention span. Because I work in the raft guide industry, and a lot of the owners are talking about how like the industry, it's the industry is not doing well, because people have this idea that, oh, I did it once and I'm good. Like, I did the thing, I got the Instagram picture, I posted it, and now I'm good. I'm not going to go rafting again. Whereas the people that we get year after year are generally of an older demographic who are like, this is something that my family really likes to do. We're making this a tradition, rather than just a one-off thing. And so that's having really real effects on industries, especially like the raft guide industry.
Yeah. I think, oh my gosh, I now just lost my train of thought. But I was, it was something spun from what you said, and it's completely losing my brain. I will probably think of it if we have a song break.
Yeah.
And like split it up a little bit, because we have been going for a little bit of time.
Yeah.
I think we'll go for the song that we actually were planning on playing last week, which is by an English artist from Newcastle called Sam Fender. He's really great. You should check him out. But this is one of his latest singles, which is going to be on his upcoming album.
Shout out to my sister. She loves Sam Fender.
Exactly. Great, great singer. but this is the song People Watching. I don't know what his upcoming album's called, but if you just search up People Watching, it's a single technically as of right now. So yeah, and we'll be back to continue socialization discussions afterwards.
People watch on the way back home. Hi, this is Jesse Brown, the host of Canada Land, Canada's only media criticism program. Every week I talk to some of the most interesting people in the country about some of the things that matter most. We talk about the news media, about comedy, film, music, and politics. And you can now listen on CJSF 90.1 FM every Monday at 5 p.m. Wait for it.
And welcome back to Sociologic on CJSF 90.1 FM, campus and community radio from Simon Fraser University.
Yippee!
I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Kaylin.
And we have just been doing a deep dive into the concept of socialization on our first ever theory deep dive on Sociologic.
Theory deep dive.
Theory deep dive.
Be here, be there, be square?
Yeah.
I don't know. We're not really in a location, yeah. I guess. That didn't work very well. Disregard. Referencing back to the very start of this show, I was trying to talk about this fact that I didn't have the full context for it. So this is the redoing of that. I just couldn't remember the name. So basically, the understanding is that the general understanding is that the first school of sociology was in Chicago by Robert Park and Ernest Burgess, but that's not true. Prior to that, W.E.B. Du Bois, and it's not Du Bois, started the first department or scientific sociology in the United States, and that was at his Atlanta school, and that is just excluded from the narrative because he's a very prominent black sociologist, but he's not given the credit for that, and that's like still very much ingrained in sociological. I only found out about that this last term, and my prof was like, this is crazy. My entire education, like she had been taught about it, that it was in Chicago, but it wasn't true.
Yeah, that's the first I've heard of it.
Yeah.
See? Yeah.
It just depends on, yeah.
Yeah. And here we are. I'm in the third year of a sociology degree, been studying sociology for 4 years, 5 years, mm-hmm. and that's the first I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Completely. My goodness. So just a recap of what we were talking about if you've just tuned in before that song. We went through kind of primary and secondary socialization and what socialization is, breaking it down, and how you are socialized through different agents. And we kind of just been picking the kind of core agents of socialization and discussing a bit about them and things. So we just finished up with the workplace, and I think it'll be interesting to go into the education, because obviously education has so many different kind of sectors to it. Like, you start off in, like, well, for you, kindergarten, I guess?
Yeah, I guess. So we, depending on where you are and how much money you have, you can be in preschool prior to that, daycare to then preschool, and I work at a preschool too. And so I'm working with kids like 6 months to 5 years. It's that before you go to kindergarten thing. And we're teaching the kids stuff, like socializing them. But yeah.
Yeah, because I, like, my education kind of structure is going to be different to yours. Because mine is, like, you start off at preschool, 2 to 4. Then primary school, 4 to 11. Oh. And then secondary school, 11 to 16. And then sixth form or college, 16 to 18. And then university, 18 plus.
Interesting. Yeah, so in the U.S., I think it's more similar to Canada. It kind of depends on where you are a little bit. But you'll have that preschool if you're going beforehand. Sometimes there's kindergarten. Not all schools have kindergarten.
Right, okay. I feel like I got that a lot from American TV shows and stuff, and like kindergarten.
Yeah, my school did have kindergarten. My school was kind of funky. It had Montessori and contemporary in the school, which was cool. Then there's elementary school, and that can go to fifth grade. It can go, but there's also K-8s. So
what,
it's kindergarten.
What age is fifth grade?
Fifth grade is like 12, I believe, 10 to 12. Okay. And then you, like, 12 to, maybe like 11 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'd have to do the math.
Yeah.
But then after that, there's middle school. But sometimes middle school is only 7th and 8th grade. Sometimes it's 7, 8, 9. Mine was 6, 7, 8. But you can also go to a K-8. So it's like all of your first schooling, and then you only switch schools when you go to high school.
Right, okay.
But then there's high school, and that is almost always 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, but we call it freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, which is not a big thing here. Because mm-hmm. you call that in college, so you'll be like, I'm a freshman in college, or I'm a sophomore.
Yeah. But here we don't have that at all, like different names.
Yeah, and I remember I read a book when I was like in a toddler. We had, because my parents went to WSU and UW, and so we had little WSU and UW books, and they'd be like, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. So I knew those words since I was like three.
Yeah.
But... yeah, it's less applicable here.
Into that.
Yeah, exactly.
Since you were three.
But yeah, and then so after that, you can go to college, because there it's called college. It doesn't matter if it's a university or college. They are different. I think a university has a grad school at it, but if it's just called a college, it doesn't have a grad school, is my understanding. Don't quote that, though. But there's not... at that point, the difference is really more in prestige, because you can have really good colleges, especially a lot of the liberal arts schools are colleges, and those are really good schools. Just because it's a college doesn't make it less good. That's not the determining factor. But there's also like trade schools and community colleges are like a lot cheaper, and there's a lot of programs. There's a program in Seattle called the Seattle Promise, which is super cool, where if you graduated from a Seattle high school, then you'd have 2 free years of community college to help you get an associate's degree, because like the first 2 years of school there is called an associate's, so you can start. A lot of people, because college is so expensive in the States, you'll go get your associate's degree at a community college, mm-hmm. and then you'll transfer to a university, because when you graduate, the university will be on your degree, and then it's about prestige and name and stuff.
Because that's interesting, because college and university are very different in England, because it's different ages.
Same in Canada, is my understanding, too.
Yeah, because college is from 16, because you mm-hmm. don't want to do A-levels, so you kind of pick, I think it's a more vocational course is what it's called, so it's kind of like, if you want to be an esthetician, if you want to be, I don't know, in construction, then you would go more to college than A-levels, because A-levels won't serve you as well.
Mm-hmm.
But what is interesting about education, obviously, it socializes you into behaviors like following a schedule and being punctual to lessons and things mm-hmm. like that.
Sitting in one chair for hours and hours.
Yeah, which doesn't work for everybody. But also, there's a concept that was developed about education, socialization, in that... it has a hidden curriculum aside, mm-hmm. Which is kind of where this all comes in, of teaching, kind of socializing children into conformity and mm-hmm. into understanding bureaucracy and kind of, I would guess, like the structures of society, like mm-hmm. the patriarchy and capitalism yeah. and stuff. And that's hidden within, like, it's like the flip side of your school curriculum. Yeah. It's like the hidden side.
The little ghost haunting the school system.
Exactly. And I remember when I first learned about this, and I thought that's so interesting, because this was obviously like in one of my first lessons
mm-hmm.
of sociology, and I was just like, you mean this entire time there's a hidden agenda to what I've been learning at school? Yeah.
And some examples of this, if it's not clicking for people, is, so I'm learning math, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm not actually learning math, but let's say I'm learning math, right? My school has told me that this math is really good, that STEM jobs, like if I go be a doctor, I'm going to get money. That kind of behind the scenes of this math is really important to know, and probably a little more important than, say, sociology, is kind of an example of one of those hidden things, behind the scenes situations of it's... we're being taught through how people are interacting with things, etc. Or, like, who you see as teachers. Like, I feel like in elementary school, almost all of my teachers were women. That's telling me maybe teaching jobs are for women, you know? Like, as a kid, like, you don't know all these things. A really interesting video to watch, if you haven't watched it, it's one of the most listened to TED Talks, is called The Danger of a Single Story, Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. That's my shout out of the day, is go watch that, and Good Will Hunting, apparently. But basically, she was talking about how, like, she'd read all these books. Like, all the books you're reading, too, are going to have an effect on you. And who's deciding what books are in your classroom, right? At one of the preschools that I was subbing at, it's paired with the Snoqualmie tribe. And so all of the books and all of the curriculum there is indigenous based, which was really cool and different than the other schools I was working at that weren't paired with the tribe specifically, because it was dependent on the center. And there was like a big difference in the curriculum and the tools and materials that were being used. And so that's another one of the things of like, it's showing you what information they think is important, how to learn. And it's not necessarily the most beneficial. I have big feelings on this. It's not necessarily always the most beneficial way to learn for all people. But it's showing that, hey, like, you need to be able to sit there. You need to be able to write down notes when people tell you, like, this is how you listen. You make eye contact, etc. It's all of those hidden things.
Yeah. It's also the structure of authority.
Mm-hmm.
Quite easily with, like, student-teacher authority.
Yeah, you have to respect the teacher.
Yeah. Replicating people. Authority structures in the workplace as well, like boss and employee,
yeah,
and other structures. I think about like the amount where I went to school, the amount of white men that were teachers,
yeah,
so reinforce the fact that like the outdated idea of that the people that hold authority should be the white man.
Yeah.
So it's all of these like hidden things that you see.
Or also like you see that in like the literature that is chosen,
yeah,
or like what perspectives are involved. I feel like that's something that a lot of people are working really hard to. And you see that also with I'm more familiar with what's happening in the United States, but I feel like it's happening in more places too, where parents are getting really angry about what's being taught in schools, like specifically around sex education, mm-hmm, and critical race theory.
I don't know how much that's happening in the UK, but I've done a lot of it on what's happening in Canada.
Yeah.
In regard to it, yeah.
So that's another one of those things of like these systems of power are super ingrained in what we're learning. And I feel like the big thing is like socializing to show you, mm-hmm, what's important and how to listen, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like happening through each stage of education as well. Like, mm-hmm, it follows the concept of you're constantly being socialized, like no matter what age you are, you end up being socialized. Because also, if you go back to school when, yeah, you're older, like, you're being socialized again, but also in a different way because you're a mature student.
Yeah. And I also feel, yeah, like we've been kind of, like, ranting about this, but socialization is not a bad thing. That's
no.
It's totally, it can be used.
It can be used in a positive and negative way.
Yeah, for sure. It just depends. And also, like, for me, my voice is like
voice is broken.
I feel like it. Hold on, I gotta drink water.
Yeah, it's like Kaylin is going through puberty right now. But yeah, I mean, I don't really know where you're going with what you're saying, but education, socializing.
I've forgotten.
She's forgotten. Oh no. Well, we can always move on because I know we're cutting short on time. Because there's three agents we haven't covered yet, which, yeah, is religion, peers, and family. And I feel like family and peers is kind of very,
yeah,
similar.
I feel like we kind of touched on that too. The family, it's a lot, I feel like a lot more heavily when you're younger, right?
Yeah,
because
it's like
you're
right
living
at the
with them. Mm-hmm. And as you kind of move up, or not move up, move out, go to school, move out, etc. Whatever it is that
country.
Your next step is, your family has less of an impact on you, but in real time, right? But you still have all of those things. Like, I have little mannerisms that I've picked up from my parents and all of these things. And the way that, like, I live with roommates, right? And what I think is important is definitely trained from what was stressed at my house, right? Like, mm-hmm, we have to clean the dishes in the sink. Like, that was something that was stressed. Or, like, you have to make your bed.
Yeah.
So I, like, will make my bed. Not anymore. I got this really nice blanket. And so now I've just been burrowing because it's winter.
Yeah.
But
it's very much like at the start, teaching you, I always thought of it as like teaching you the baseline basics of how to function.
Yeah.
Essentially in society. It's like the function side of socialization.
Here's how you brush your teeth.
Exactly.
Here's how you,
yeah,
use a spoon.
And like the thing that you say, making your bed, like my parents ingrained into me about when you wake up, you make your, like, not straight away, but it's like one of the first things you do.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's like we wake up, go down, have breakfast, come back up, make your bed, because it's like give the bed a bit of time to air. You have been in it for like 8+ hours, like let it air out and then make it. But it's, you would never go to like school, or you'd never go to work if your bed wasn't made.
Interesting.
So yeah, it's stuff like that. And then with your peers, it's kind of more in terms of, I think, it kind of develops your independence a bit more away from your parents. Because you're with people that are the same age as you or similar ages.
You're being exposed to more ideas.
Yeah, and most often your friends are people that share interests with you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like your first...
What's cool, what's not.
It's like your first major socialization, I guess, away from your parents. And it's like what you were saying earlier about, like, Lululemon leggings.
Yeah,
and
exactly. I do feel like we touched on that.
Yeah, one. How to kind of, like, I guess, fit in with people.
Yeah, or relate to people.
Even yeah.
That's the way to say it.
Yeah, and yeah, because we kind of already touched on that. The last one is religion, and I didn't really cover religion and socialization that much,
I feel,
to be
like
fair.
What my thought on it is, for those who are religious, it is just another form similar to the other agents of socialization to help with moral values and ideas of how to be members of society, right? That's another mm-hmm. group. It can be more impactful depending on how much religion plays into your life. But I am not religious, and we would go, and that has definitely had an effect on how I see things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because not having that religious structure in my life has affected how I have been socialized, et cetera, et cetera.
Because yeah. I think as well, like with some religions, you're... worshipping or praying multiple times a day, so
yeah.
It's like fitting, not fitting it in, but having that routine as well, like kind of mm-hmm. going to school, having that routine.
Affecting
it's like a different
day to day activity too.
Yeah, because I'm not religious either, so we didn't get taught it, to be honest, really, when we were taught socialization. But I don't have any relation to the socialization of religion with the agent. Oh my god, the agent of socialization that is religion.
Yeah.
I don't have any kind of personal experience with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know from like some of my friends that I think they kind of have it as like a very grounding notion, having
mm-hmm.
that kind of repetitive thing every day
mm-hmm.
to keep themselves grounded in a routine.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is our first ever theory deep dive into socialized Asian.
Thanks for joining us, y'all. For those
yeah.
of you who are still here, we appreciate you.
I hope it was. I know some people hate theory. And like,
I think it's super interesting. It just depends on, I feel like, if you're applying it to the real world stuff that
mm-hmm.
is important to you. So that's what I would encourage. Like, think about these things. How do those affect your life? Did you agree with our examples? Did you not? You know?
Yeah, and come by the station if you didn't. I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
But don't, like, I don't know, insult us at the station,
yeah,
please.
Ideally.
But yeah, I don't know what next week's episode's going to be. I do know I will not be here for it because
yep.
I am
You'll
traveling
be with
home.
Me.
So you've got Kaylin for 2 weeks, potentially by our own, potentially with other people.
I'm not sure yet. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find
out. We'll find out next week when you tune in at 7 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Exactly. So we'll leave it there, and I'll see you guys on the 18th of February.
Thank you so much.
Hey, are you a First Nations, Métis, or Inuit student? Not convinced university, college, or vocational trade school is possible? Or wondering what you should do after high school? Inspire can help you and your friends. Register for Inspire's free Indigenous mentorship program, Rivers to Success. Joining Rivers to Success gets you access to great information, great prizes, and exciting content. Discover careers and post-secondary paths geared towards Indigenous students across Turtle Island, just like you. Register online today at rivers2success.ca. Again, that's rivers2success.ca. Prizes, information, and fun are waiting.
Stats can be hard to understand, but this one isn't. Nearly 1 in 4 people can't afford food in Canada. What does food insecurity look like where you live? Look up your address at foodsecuritynow.ca. That's foodsecuritynow.ca. Join Community Food Centers Canada in making a difference today.